Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to Christmas Eve 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 show. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Lagerman. Vic Ketchman sitting in the Lily Tomlin chair once again. You're low to the floor, baby. We got Joe Fortunato's here. Hi, Joe. John Deneen just stepped in. We've got an abundance of food and hopefully an abundance of football conversation for you this evening. So where do we go to start this one? I mean, I remember a couple of weeks ago in New York, you said, hey, look, I can't call every game a big game. I don't want to call this a big game because next week is a big game. Well, last week we said big, big, big.
Yeah.
Do we say the same thing this week?
No, it's not big, big, big because there are ways that, for instance, if the Jaguars lost this Sunday and the Colts won and the Jaguars won the following week and the Colts lost, Jaguars would be division champion.
Because of that tiebreaker.
Because you changed the tiebreaker from common games to division record.
Yeah, but, you know, can you imagine if, for example, the Colts lost this week to Oakland.
And you missed your chance.
And you missed your chance. That's why this is a big game.
Right. No, it's a big game, but this isn't like last week, which was head-to-head, and all you got to do is win, and it was clinched. I mean, that's my definition of a late season, you know, big, big, big game. I mean, it wasn't a big game, it was the game. What we have here now is now we're back to, you know, scenarios, not the scenario, scenarios, plural.
Okay, so
you've had a couple days to digest that game in Indianapolis?
Yeah, it was a terrible performance.
Yeah, just, I don't want to say terrible, disappointing, you know, just because, you know, I kind of would have been okay if you just went there and you played your game and you fought hard, which they did. They fought hard. But if you fought hard and you were playing your type of game and you lost, you know, but they just never got into their type of game. You know, they weren't able to run the ball. Defensively, the Colts ran the ball. So those two things, and that they didn't run the ball and the Colts did, kind of left a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, I'm with you. But one thing in particular bothered me, really bothered me. The Colts were able to stay in this college-like 44 stack defense the whole game, and they couldn't even make them come out of it. I mean, that is as vanilla as it gets. And they, you know, you should have been able to throw the bubble screens against that. You should have been able to throw the slants against that. They're playing those three across the back. The safeties or the corners are playing off the soft, 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 and they couldn't get them out of that simple 44 stack defense. It's not like they were walking the safety up. He was lining up.
He was lined up as a backer.
He was lined up as a backer. He, you know what he was? He was a hero. He was a monster. He was a college hero monster back, and he wasn't even, there was no disguise to it. They weren't even walking him up. He was just lining up, as Jeff said, as one of four backers.
Well, they've seen that. I mean, they've seen
it. Sure, they've seen that.
They saw that in games before, and he still had success against that type of defense. But for whatever reason, some performances that weren't quite up to what you would expect, they weren't able to have the type of production that they have had against that defense in weeks past.
It took three quarters to figure it out.
No, and I disagree with you there. I don't think there was no figuring it out. You know, they just didn't. They weren't able to do what they had been doing against that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they've been seeing. I mean, they've been seeing the safety down in the box, but they've always managed to kind of get Maurice one on one, and he would win.
And you should have been able to throw against that defense.
No, well, Hey, do you think David Garrard's rankings are so high because he is just lights out?
No. They're playing run.
His rankings are high. No offense to Dave, and this is not a slight of David, but you can attribute a lot of his success to the type of defenses that opponents play against them. And the Jaguars, though, still have stuck with their style, and that's running the football. And you could say, well, you know, they didn't play quite as well at the center position and the guard position. and certainly maybe Maurice wasn't full speed because it didn't look like he was full speed to me. There were a lot of times where Maurice had one-on-one, not a lot, but a few times where Maurice had one-on-one, and usually, you know, it's a violent collision, and he's popping out the other side, and you just didn't see it.
Well, Jeff, the Colts were playing a bend-but-don't-break defense, and the Jaguars didn't even make it bend.
Maurice obviously had the knee issue last week. Mm-hmm. It kept him out of practice again today. At what point do you start taking carries away from him now?
Well, I'm
wondering. Looking at his long-term health.
I'm kind of wondering how he's going to be this week. You know, a knee, I guess, that it was on the injury report last week. You know, is playing in Indianapolis, but not much in the second half. Will we see him kind of get back to where he was at? You know, hey, look, he is the motor of this offense and this football team. And when he's not out there, they miss him. Now, I liked what I'm seeing out of Rashad Jennings, but at the same time, Maurice is the heart and soul.
He goes up against a Redskins team that's not that much, statistically speaking, not that much better than the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, should the Jaguars be able
to run this? Well, they're worse. I mean, they're the worst-ranked defense in the National Football League.
But I meant against the run in particular.
Yeah, against the run. They run a 3-4, and they don't really have the personnel to play 3-4. They're missing some guys, as everybody is at this time of year. But they can also do, you know, don't let that 32nd ranking fool you about the Redskins' defense. They're not great at stopping the run. They don't have great personnel, but they certainly have a defensive coordinator that is one of the more creative defensive coordinators
that,
in the
Jeff?
League, Jim Haslett.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Haslett, yeah.
So, and they have, you know, Carlos Rogers and then D'Angelo Hall at the corners. And when you got two corners, you got a lot of confidence in, you can do some different things.
Mm. Well, the thing that Jack said on his radio show last night was they run a lot of traps with the corners. What does he mean by that? Because what he said was it's confusing to quarterbacks.
What a trap is that you think you're getting one thing, but then when the ball is snapped, they're running out of it towards something else. And a quarterback will see something when he gets the ball and then go to deliver, and it's too late for him to say, uh-oh, that's not what I thought it was. And then that, I mean, D'Angelo Hall, what has he got, six picks?
Yes.
You know, second in the National Football League. You know, part of the reason that he has six picks is some of that trap style. And what trap is, it's not a style. It's what it is. It's the name, a trap. You know, you set a trap for somebody.
It's like basketball, Brian. They direct you to a certain place on the floor, and then everyone rushes over there,
and
you're trapped.
His comment was traps along the sidelines.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do in basketball. They force you to the boundary, and next thing you know, you're surrounded.
Yep. All right. Well, it's just something to watch out for this week. All right, we've got 2 hours of this program, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank the folks from Sonny's. They came through in a huge way this evening to help us with our little Christmas open house. And you can stop by there this week and next. Lots of specials, including Fridays and Saturdays, all you can eat from the rib, folks. That's at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, an official sponsor of this program in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars This Week continues right after this on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it. Sounds of the season, ladies and gentlemen. We may even get Vic to sing a little later, huh?
I've got some Christmas music.
I know that you do. So maybe if he finds the right song?
I've got some Christmas. I got a Christmas Dino CD.
Really?
Yeah.
So you got a little Christmas in you tonight.
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin. Well, we were talking about that last night with Jack, weren't we? Little White Christmas by Dean Martin. Maybe we could find that for you.
I have that.
You do?
It's out in the car right now.
If he plays it, though, will you sing it?
No, I won't, but if you want, I'll go out to the car and get it.
You really celebrate Christmas, though? Because you're kind of a Scrooge's type. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, you really kind of come off as being Scrooge. I mean,
yeah,
I'm just saying that.
You know, I'm a Thanksgiving guy. I'm not a Christmas guy. I mean, it's grotesque. I mean,
people thought I was being funny,
but I'm not, I'm being honest. It's outlandish.
What you're saying is it's over-commercialized.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, that's the beauty of Thanksgiving. It's not. It's a feast, but it's a tasteful feast. I mean, if the families come together and they eat together and we celebrate with food, not with baubles and beads. Don't you think Thanksgiving is a better holiday?
No, I wouldn't say it's better. I mean, Christmas is, you know...
You can do the religious thing now.
I mean, I'll do the religious thing. There's some meaning to the season there. So, But I love the music. If Thanksgiving had songs, I might enjoy it a little bit more.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree that that Thanksgiving has got a wonderful place in my heart because I, you know, obviously right below my heart is my stomach.
Right.
And by the way, folks,
but Christmas is to me number one.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And you know, some people don't look at it as buying. Some people look at it as giving.
My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving.
Very good, Loggy.
My next favorite holiday. My next favorite holiday is New Year's Day.
Well, that's because of football.
No, hockey, right?
No. I love the bowl games. I've always loved the bowl games.
I thought you
were going
to go to
the Winter
Classic.
I don't think they're nearly as good as they used to be. I mean, when you had the Big Four.
Yeah, but that's not a holiday. That's just, you know.
Now they got them spaced out. I mean, they're still playing bowl games on January 20th. You know, I mean, who knows anymore?
You going to watch the Mako Bowl tonight? Utah and Boise State. You won't miss that one, will
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'll watch it. Yeah, I used to, and one.
Did you miss the Beef O'Brady's Bowl last night?
I saw a portion of it, but did not see the
Dear
finish.
God, that's what's wrong with
it's
college
awful.
Football.
That's
what's wrong with Vic. He's watching that bowl game last night.
It was 31-28. So if you like college, football,
I didn't even know there was a bowl game last night.
I didn't. And in fact, I said to Joe when I walked in, "How in the world did I miss the Beef O'Brady's Bowl?"
Here's the worst part about a lot of the bowl games now. Are being coached by interim coaches because the guy who took him to the bowl game has been fired.
Or he's gotten another job.
In other words, how bad is your bowl that getting there got the coach fired? Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Or, as in the case last year, Brian Kelly had already gone to Notre Dame and Cincinnati went to the Sugar Bowl with something else. So Brian's on to bigger and better things.
Right.
All right. We're off target.
To me, bowls aren't what they used to be.
No.
There's one bowl game that I will watch.
Let me guess which one.
The national title game.
Yeah, whatever it is.
That's it.
Oh, I was trying to think of which one the ACC used to have.
No, not the Gator Bowl.
No, whichever one the ACC used to have, because you're a Virginia guy.
Well, we didn't really ever have one. I mean, ACC was just lucky to get an invite back in the day.
It was a Sugar Bowl or...
But anyhow, to substantiate my feelings for Christmas, I like it. I do like it. It's not, for me, it's not... as pure, it's not as genuine as Thanksgiving. It's the ripping of the paper and the, you know, it's all too much for me.
So the commercialization
we'll
of it is.
We'll get you through it.
All right. Well, it's almost here.
And the best part about Christmas is, you know what?
What?
Christmas Vacation.
The movie.
I thought he was going to say Mistletoe there for a second. You worried me.
I thought you were going to say, I'm in the mood.
Hey, by the way, since we're on to Christmas movies, I watched Christmas Vacation. I downloaded it. I was watching it on my iPad. I found another Christmas movie that I like a whole lot, and I wonder if you like it, and since Footloggy brings it up. Did you ever see Bill Murray in Scrooged?
It's fabulous.
Did you see that?
Fabulous. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw it. You know, I'm a big fan of the kids' Christmas movies.
They're all good.
Polar Express. Watch Polar Express.
Oh, wait. No, that's real. I mean, you're way down. You're down in kindergarten stuff.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Which one are you talking about, The Grinch?
Well,
Jim Carrey as the Grinch was brilliant.
Yeah, I know that movie.
The
that's
guy
real
with,
good.
With Tim Allen, the movie with Tim Allen. It's unbelievable.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah. How about the one where Danny DeVito's in, where he moves in next door and he torments the guy next door?
I don't know that
remember
one.
Remember the.
You turn the mic on. Turn the mic on. What is it?
I don't remember.
It's a new Christmas movie, and it has the.
And you like the fact that he's tormenting someone.
He puts so many lights on the house that it's so bright the guy can't sleep. You know,
that's the Christmas Vacation, isn't it?
No, it's similar to that, but all the Christmas
Deck the Halls is what it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, but you know what's still the best? When you watch those old shows that aren't even animation. They're clay
Miracle
figures,
oh.
And they move them, and then the other.
So you're Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, that's Rudolph that's exactly. And, you know, with Old Man Winter. I mean, those.
The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Yeah, those things are the best.
Okay, so we're way off on a tangent here.
Yeah, we are.
But we'll bring it
back. It's Christmas week.
It is Christmas week. We had a little Christmas open house, and we've got dinner, and we had sort of a lunch. Did you try the deer sausage? Loggy shot it.
I can't do that. It's really
Loggy, Loggy
it's
shot
lean
it.
Red meat.
Unless the deer had wings and it flies, or it has gills and it swims.
You're not eating
it? I can't eat it.
Loggy treated us all to it, and it was fabulous. Fabulous. And I don't know whether you noticed, but Sonny's came in with dinner, and the coaches are all going to be making their way through here in the not-too-distant future. So you never know who we may get on the show this evening, folks. We'll just leave it at that. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We got a break for news at the bottom of the hour. So let's grab Dave from St. Augustine Beach and see where this phone call carries us until that moment. Hello, Dave.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Happy holidays to you and all of yours and all the Jaguars, friends and family out there. I wanted to talk about what a fine line Coach Del Rio has to walk with a player like Maurice Jones-Drew, who didn't practice most of the week. He's obviously not 100%. He's going to try to play no matter what. At what point does Coach Del Rio decide, you know what, I'm going to have to go with Rashad and Deji? Because it was obvious to me last week, and I'm sure everybody else, that Maurice was less than 100%. And I think that, along with not having Courtney Green and Justin Durant, played a major role in the lack of production in the running game, and obviously with those guys on the defense. But, you know, with a guy like Mojo, you know, you can't pull him out of the game, you know, with his head chopped off. You know, how hard is it to decipher when to play him and when not to play him and when to try to sit him?
Well, let me say this, and that Maurice obviously wasn't quite himself, but there were also some players that had performances that weren't quite themselves either. When a team is committed to stopping the run like the Colts were, you've got to be really good up front. And against the Colts, they weren't really good up front. I thought Brad Meester didn't have a Brad Meester type of game. I thought Uche Nwaneri didn't have the type of game that he's capable of.
Vinny was hurt.
Yeah, but you know what? Vinny played well.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good for him.
You know, so it's so hard, I think, and you're right, and Dave, and that the, you know, the head coach does walk a fine line, because he's got to try to figure out, hey, is this player going to help us, or is he not going to be able to help us? But, hey, look, this is your stud. I mean, this is the guy that's carried you and your team on his back for 6 weeks in a row. You've got to give him that opportunity to see if he can fight through it.
Let me ask this question, Dave. If Coach Del Rio had benched Maurice Jones-Drew early in the second quarter and played Rashad Jennings, and Jennings didn't do any better than, as it turned out, Maurice did, would you be calling tonight and asking why did he bench Maurice Jones-Drew?
Absolutely not, and that's not my intent.
Oh, no, you wouldn't? No. Whoa. You would have known, of course, then, that Jones-Drew was hurt, and, I mean, how do you know these things? You're telling me that people wouldn't be calling the show tonight complaining?
Some people would have asked. There's
People would have, yes, me, no. I understand the situation very much. I follow the team.
Well, when I
closely.
Said you, I meant I'm speaking of the majority of fans. See, there's no substitute for making it work. If it, you know, when you win, as Chuck Noll used to say, when you win, everything you're great, and when you lose, everything you say and do is wrong. You stink, and it's just that simple. It didn't work, but this is your man. Your people, you know, we were last week at this time, we were touting him for MVP. So now all of a sudden you're going to bench the MVP?
No, and that's not what I was implying. I'm just saying, you know, at what point do you decide to do that? Because
at the point that you know that he is compromised by the injury.
Yeah, Dave, when you see it, that's when you make the decision.
Did you see it?
Really didn't.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either.
You know, I really didn't see a Maurice that looked ailing or looked incapable.
I didn't.
I saw an offensive line that wasn't quite giving him that crack for him to explode.
And I will tell you this, I do believe that the Jaguars left something on the field against Oakland.
Oh, there's no question.
That was the most physical offensive line they faced all year long.
And defensive line.
Okay. And they left something on that field. They didn't bring all of themselves to Indianapolis. They were still recovering. They were not all the way back.
All right, folks, we need to take a break here at the bottom of the hour and go get started on that Sunny's. You can as well stop by any North Florida Sunny's and ask about the specials they have running this holiday season. News is next on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Wonderland. Wonderland. sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow's glistening. A beautiful
for a guy that
sight,
isn't really good at
Christmas.
What, you didn't like the foot fetish conversation we were having?
He wanted us not to.
You were afraid
like
we were going to say something? Hey, it's a fact of life, Joe.
No, I was just about to say, for a guy who's not big on Christmas, you got some peppy Christmas music.
Yeah, I like
car.
This.
Yeah.
I like the spirit of Christmas. Yes. I just don't like the
commercialization. The yeah, there's a lot of people that are with you on that. So I didn't really intend to go to the Rex Ryan thing right out of the gate, but, you know, since you bring it up.
Hey, he's a public figures are subject to public scrutiny, and their wives, too.
Oh, well, he was the one that brought up, I don't know if you remember, there was a Shape magazine with some NFL wives in it, and in a press conference, he brought up the fact that his hot model wife, right? Who would know a couple of weeks later his hot model wife was sort of a fetish?
I don't get wife. It. I hate feet. I told you in the break, I don't even like to look at feet.
I guess she's got pretty feet.
And Rex evidently
digs them.
Acknowledges it.
He digs them.
Go for it, Rex.
If you want more,
I'm going to go out and get some feet
that
tonight.
You want to talk about, you know, the weird.
Let's talk about weird, Loggy.
I mean, that's weird.
I mean, I'm thinking.
No, and I'm not saying he's weird. I'm just saying, how weird is it to where you've got an NFL head coach and his wife, and it's, you know, they're talking about this foot fetish thing?
Have you ever heard anyone say, I want to go out and pick up some feet?
Leave it to Vic to bring it back.
I mean, that's weird,
for a meal, you know, pickled pig's feet or, you know, something like that.
Here's what we know. It shouldn't surprise us that it's Rex Ryan, for goodness sakes. He's been at the forefront of everything this year. His big mouth has been from Hard Knocks all the way through. Now this.
Yeah, that's really, really, really weird.
Yeah.
Right. Where's it going to go from here for Rex?
I wonder what Brunell thinks since he's the backup quarterback.
That team is doomed. They got Santonio Holmes and Rex Ryan.
Well, remember now.
And Cromartie's got like, what, 20 kids to 21 women.
Well, don't you remember? The Latina reporter that from the,
oh yeah,
she
let's
was
not forget
she
about
was
her.
Attempted to interview Mark Sanchez for Universal. I forget the Spanish channel and they were throwing the ball over and making her bend over and pick it up.
Well, now the tripping incident on the sideline.
Oh God, yeah, that's a sword.
The tripping on the sideline. That's right. Oh, that is
the foot fetish.
Oh wow.
And the league is investigating that further now.
Is it against
the foot
the law?
Fetish?
No, not the foot fetish.
I take
fetish.
The shoes off my wife when I get home.
No, not the foot fetish. The sideline incident.
Bonnie, if she listened to this show right now, would be just howling in laughter that you would come home and massage her feet.
She might get excited.
Well, you might want to go massage your feet then.
No, see, I heard you on
that.
The show
it's
tonight.
It's Christmas, hey, big boy. Yeah, exactly, right.
If you want.
Yeah, I'll take my shoes off. I can hear that.
Nothing so it beats a great pair of toes.
Can you imagine what Jackson DeVille would do with that in a pregame skit if the Jets were to play here this Sunday?
Oh.
Seriously, can you imagine what he might do?
I'd love it.
They're in Chicago. I don't think Chicago has a mascot. But they have the Bills at home. So no, we won't see it, but do the Jets come here next year? No, it's an AFC.
Do we have time for a funny story?
Yes, lay it out.
Since we're talking about feet. I bought.
It's a funny story, though, right? It's good for it's good for
yes,
radio.
Yes,
families,
yes.
That stuff. Okay.
Years ago, I happened to buy at one of these Spencer's gift shops in a mall.
Yeah, I know Spencer's.
These
Joe does too.
Bigfoot feet. They were plastic, cut a giant plastic feet that was cut out like a foot, and then it had five circles at the end like toes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would and you would slip your foot through these straps, so that you could put these on. And then you could walk in the snow, and it looked like...
Like the abominable snowman or something. Okay.
Yeah, like Bigfoot had been there. So.
And that's not a foot fetish.
No, but I mean, I figured we were talking about feet. That's a funny story. So I bought these things and put them on, and I walked around the outside of my parents' bedroom window and bathroom window. And hey, Dad, I said, you got some real... tracks and Bigfoot tracks outside. What are you talking about? So go out in the outside your bedroom window and look at those footprints in the snow. He goes out there. He goes, my God, what would make Mark stop? He bought it.
He bought it.
I had him almost convinced it was Bigfoot.
Good Lord. So that's your foot fetish.
Yeah.
Bigfoot.
I think I still have those somewhere.
Uh-oh. Well, maybe you could send them to
Rex. Attic or something.
Maybe you could lend them to Jackson the next time we see
you. Yeah, I mean, I don't have, we don't get any snow down here, so I mean,
you can do it on the beach.
Rex might get off.
Oh, dear God. Let's go to the phone lines and turn this conversation around. Merry Christmas, folks. 355-NFL-1. Lee from Ponte Vedra is next. Hello, Lee.
Hey, guys. Good evening. I don't know how to follow the foot fetish.
That's why I chose you, pal.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Vic, use it in the sand, maybe.
Yeah, you could use it in the sand. They were really hokey looking, but, you know, it was cool.
By the way, Vic, my mom's favorite holiday was also Thanksgiving. She always felt she had so much to be thankful for, and I'm kind of in that light.
Good.
I have an observation based on the last two games that may or may not be correct, so I'll defer to the experts and take your insight at face value. My thought is this. It seems to me that the Raiders and the Colts were more prepared at the start of the game. In both games, the Jags seemed to make adjustments in the second half and basically outplayed both teams. Won one, lost one. Is it schematic? Are the Jags too predictable schematically? So if you think about what I'm saying, what do we change against the Redskins?
Well, this is for Jeff. He's going to do better at this than I can do.
No, I don't think anything was any different. I think that both games they came out and wanted to establish what they have been, and that's running the football. In Indianapolis game, they couldn't do it, and in the second half, they started opening things up more. And that's okay. I mean, that's not a big adjustment to me. I mean, that's just kind of the flow of the game. And then also, it was kind of the need of the game at that point against Indianapolis. It was also the need of the game against the Oakland Raiders. Because you were down. That's not so much halftime adjustment as it is circumstance.
I still think they left something on the field against Oakland, and what the Colts did, Lee, defensively, was so vanilla. I mean, it is absolutely as simple as it gets. It can't possibly have been schemed. They can't possibly have been out-schemed. It had to be a case of they were outplayed.
Interesting. You know, Vic, you said during the Colts pregame radio show the Jags should come out and throw the ball. And I thought you were nuts.
Open. I thought they should have come out. You knew what the Colts were going to open with. They were going to open with defensively a defense that was designed to stop the run. So you know you're going to get their best right off the bat. You know, I figured to come out and throw it a little bit to start the game and show them that you can do the other two.
To loosen
well,
them
you know,
up.
Yeah, you that's turned right, out just to be absolutely right.
Well,
I thought it was a gimmick to, you know, get away from what is your signature, and that's run the ball.
Here's the bottom line. If he doesn't overthrow that ball for Jason Hill, Jaguars win the game. I believe that. I honestly believe that. If he doesn't overthrow that ball and it's not intercepted and they score there, and I believe they would have scored there, I think the Jaguars win the game because when Collie left the game, the Colts were never the same.
And that ball that was overthrown, there was heat in his face throwing
Freeney,
that football.
Freeney.
So it's not just David, you know, had all day in the pocket and just overthrew it. I don't want people to get that impression.
He made two bad plays all day, and both plays cost them dearly. The interception, and I thought it was a gross mistake on his part on that fourth and one,
not
which was really fourth and two. It's called a Johnny call. In other words, you goose him and go. And they were flexed. The line, middle line, the center of the line was vacant. There was no one there. He could have just goosed him and gotten the first down.
You're talking about audibling to the sneak.
Well, you don't even have to audible. Just lift the center's hind end up with your hand.
Well, you
got to
let everybody else know.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Why?
When you run a sneak, you have to let your two guards know so that it's a wedge.
Okay, then check to it.
So, but supposedly he didn't get that option in his communication. So now,
yeah, I know I wrote it.
And either way, the thing that I didn't like about that play, first off, I mean, fourth and one at the 39. Just punt it.
With a one game lead.
Just punt it. You know, four point game. Yep. You know, I mean, punt it at that point. The reward wasn't so great that the risk was worth it to me. But on that play, you know, analyzing that play, it was a toss, but he didn't go anywhere with the toss. Why toss it?
It was a mess. Everything was a mess.
And so to me, you didn't need to toss it because David could have reached out and just handed it off, and then also the toss was very hot.
It was high and hot.
It was hot. It was hot. So there was a lot of things on that play that you could critique.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on,
is that the guy?
That's Frankie.
That's Frank. That's the chairman. Very nice. Give this to your cartoon.
No, I have Frank, but I don't have Christmas Frank. Lots of Frank.
A merry little Christmas.
Okay.
Make merry the Christmas.
Joe's not ready to turn it. By the way, Joe controls the volume, folks. So whenever Joe feels like saying something, he'll say it with Christmas music.
Be miles away.
The Christmas spirit going on here at Jaguar Central. And let's go to the phone lines. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. And John is up next in Keystone Heights. Hello, John. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. I just want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
The thing is, kind of ponders me is, and I don't want them to change the format, but also Indianapolis had a few extra days to work on what they were going to do to the Jaguars. And I think that might have been kind of beneficial too.
Well, if anything would have helped the Jaguars would have been a couple extra days of rest.
That's what they need.
And that's really, and it's not the extra days of preparation. It's a division opponent. You know what they're going to do. There's no secrets. So I don't think that benefited Indianapolis so much as them getting rest, especially with, you know, a team that in week what? That was week
You don't want to be
13
playing,
or 14 or 15, whatever
right,
you want to call it, counting
15.
By weeks.
You don't want to be playing teams like the Raiders, the Ravens, the Steelers the week before a game like that. If you were playing Houston, which is not a physical team, or if you were playing, I don't know who the finesse teams are, but if you were playing more of a finesse team the week before Indianapolis, you wouldn't have been beaten up. But you talk to the Jaguars defensive linemen in particular, they thought that the Oakland offensive line was the most physical they had faced all year long.
Which hopefully will be the most physical against the Colts.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, Jeff. Let me give you my bent on this, and then I'm going to turn it over to Jeff and Brian. I think the Raiders will win that game, except what happens between Tennessee and Kansas City in the 1 o'clock game goes directly to what chances the Raiders have of making the playoffs. For instance, if the Chiefs win at 1 o'clock, then the Raiders will know at kickoff they're out.
But you know,
they're done.
And I think Jeff feels this way, so I'll be quick. I don't think this Raiders team hangs it up. No. I think this is a different group with Tom Cable. They've been playing well late in the year. They have something to prove. They're trying to get, you know, their team back into the playoffs. I don't think they shut it down, Vic.
No, I don't either. I think this is a different Raiders team.
Who wins?
Well, I mean, you know who I hope wins. I mean, I obviously hope.
Well, who do you think
Oakland
will win?
I think Oakland will.
I do too.
They have a great secondary.
They have.
Yes.
They
and
have,
they got the running game.
Well, they have an outstanding running game with two good backs. They have a defense that has a secondary probably like no other in the National Football League.
Press coverage.
They can play man. Asamoah's getting more
healthy. They rush the passer.
They've got good safeties.
And man is how you beat Manning.
And they can get pressure with four guys.
Right.
I like the Raiders.
So
I think they match up very well against the Colts, and I think that they will win.
Okay, now here is my greatest concern about what's left of this season. I can see this happening, folks, and you know, it makes me swallow hard. I see the Raiders winning that game. And I see the Jaguars winning here. And I see the Jaguars going to Houston with another clinch scenario, win and in, which means another one of those big games. And you got to hit on this one. I mean, if they get another one of these, they can't miss. They've got to hit, because if they miss, all the goodwill that has been created in this season is going to go flying out the window.
Well, do you think conversely? You know, the Texans played.
Whoa, wait. You don't think so? You think that if the Jaguars went to Houston with a win-and-in scenario, in other words, they could clinch with a win, and they didn't do it, you think the fans would say, that's okay. Hey, it was a great year.
I think the fans that are fans would say, yeah.
Well, I think you're being very naive.
Because I don't think anybody expected them to be this far. How can you say everybody would think that this was a waste of time?
I think fans would be very, very upset.
I think that they would be disappointed, but I don't think that they would throw their hands up and then this year would be, you know, totally lost.
Okay.
And I also think with the draft coming up, I think next year you don't have a blackout either.
I tell you, look, you know, what this team has been able to do with some of the excitement at home this year has been outstanding. But I want to see this team finish. And finish in a positive light.
And I think what you're saying is very symbolic of what the majority of the fans want to see. They want to see the team finish. And if the team gets a chance to finish and win a division crown, in my opinion, it can't fail again. If it does, it's going to damage what has been repaired this year.
Let me ask you a question. We talked about the Raiders, and we saw them, and we know what kind of team they are, and that's why we think they'll go finish even if Kansas City eliminates them early. What about the Texans? Based on the way that they played in Tennessee, I'm a little iffy on those guys.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know what they shut down?
Well, Texans.
Sure seems like it.
Yeah, they
got hammered by the Titans.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. You know, and
Titans defense,
they run a short week.
You know, and a lot of people want to look at that and say that's a reflection of the Texans. I'm hoping that that's a reflection of the Tennessee Titans.
Titans were on a long week, and the Texans were on a short week.
Because Tennessee...
Were they playing the short
Ravens.
Week?
Tennessee.
Monday night game. Yeah.
Tennessee can beat Indianapolis,
overtime.
Too. They've got a premier running back in Chris Johnson. Defensively, they play hard up front. They've got some secondary guys that can play pretty well. They can beat Indianapolis. Well, it's not going to be easy. I think, you know, Oakland's a better matchup. But certainly Tennessee is capable of beating Indy.
The Colts have lost 4 of their last 6 games against the Raiders, by the way.
The quarterback must go down.
And, you know, I mean, this is during the Peyton Manning era. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of years when this guy has been on top of his game.
Well, and they got to go out there and play the day after Christmas. That's not an easy trip to make either. So,
no.
All right, so there's a chance that maybe the Texans, we'll see. We'll see.
The Texans what?
That's a mess. That they don't play as hard as the Raiders do.
No, Texans, they're a mess. Yeah. Right, Gary Kubiak needs to go.
We got a lot to talk about in hour number 2 of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday to you.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus is coming along.
Your last time you got me good.
Andy Williams would be impressed that you would sing along.
Yeah, I remember Claudine Longer. Remember, she killed him. She shot him. What was he? Was he skiing when she shot him?
He was that. What was his name? Oh, man. Why am I blanking on his name?
Andy Williams.
No. The guy she shot. She shot the skier.
That's right. Yeah, she shot the skier.
Jean-Claude Nakili.
No. Shot, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, you're right.
No, not Van Damme.
No, she shot the skier.
Yeah, type in Claudine Longer.
Remember the skit that Saturday Night Live did, the Claudine Longer Invitational?
The skiers are coming down the slopes.
And she was shooting them as they came down the slopes.
It's the holiday season.
Why do you have to get shot by your mistress?
You asked the deep questions, Vic.
just exactly at 12
o'clock. How you thought of that?
That's what happened, right? Yeah.
We're not talking about Andy Williams, the guy who's singing the song, are we?
Yeah, yes. His wife, Claudine Lange, she shot the guy that she was, whatever, you know, they were doing.
Did you put in Claudine Lange or Andy Williams?
I put in.
What's the masculine for mistress?
No, I'm looking.
Mistrix.
she shot her mister.
Well, after a lengthy separation, Williams and Lange divorced in 75. In March 76, however. Is that how you pronounce it? L-O-N-G-E-T?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lange.
She was charged with fatally shooting her boyfriend, mm-hmm. alpine skier Spider Savage.
Spider Savage. Yeah, that's
in Aspen. Williams played a public role in the subsequent events, escorting her to and from the courtroom, testifying to her character at the trial, and providing legal assistance. She claimed the shooting was accidental and
got one off.
30 days in jail. How did we go from a Christmas song to
he was coming down the slope and she just happened to point it at him and boom, it went off.
Who was responsible for directing the conversation in that direction?
Joe.
Can you give yourself one of those things that we've created last week? Give yourself one of them, please.
It'll take a while. But I don't think I deserve one.
Yes, you do.
No, for this.
She was good looking.
Vic took it and ran with it. So we're all, it's good. It worked.
No, give yourself one.
Brian looked
it up. Hey, Jack Wagon.
No, Brian even got the answer.
You need
a tissue? 3-1, you're
out. Well, I got the answer because I didn't know who she was.
You get it.
No, give yourself one.
Yeah. Spider Savage. He was on the Olympic team.
Tissue.
He was a Spider Savage was on the Olympic team with Billy Kidd. There were a bunch of free spirits.
Yeah, we got that going here right now, too. Yeah, real free spirits.
Skiers, they, you know. Skiers know what to do.
Well, that I could say something, but I shouldn't. All right, let's go back to football, folks. 355-NFL-1, and we've got Leo in Jacksonville Beach. Leo, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Vic. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Hello, Leo.
Hey, how you doing? My question is for Jeff.
Good. Yeah.
Jeff, can you settle a Jaguar message board debate?
Okay.
Who won that matchup between Dwight Freeney and Eugene Monroe?
Dwight Freeney.
Oh, really?
Yep. You must have been on the other side, huh?
No, it didn't matter me either way, but it was a lot of people that were saying Dwight Freeney abused Monroe. Then there were people that were saying
Eugene Monroe played his best game yet against Dwight Freeney. But Dwight Freeney still won the matchup overall. Freeney is a tremendous player, but the best part about it was is that Eugene made some steps, but he gave up some stuff that would still declare, if there is such a thing, that Dwight Freeney would be the winner in that matchup.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You know,
I truly appreciate it.
And Leo, also, you don't have to hang tight. You can listen to this over there, but with – When you talk about an offensive lineman versus a defensive lineman, if there's 15 plays, 20 plays, let's say 20, and the defensive end makes two big plays.
He's the winner.
He wins.
Right.
You know, an offensive lineman, you've got to give up maybe one play and then be incredibly good the rest of the time. That's the life of an offensive lineman, life of a tackle.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. James is in Mayport. Hello, James. Welcome to the show.
An offensive line.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
I called last night and asked Coach and Brian this question, and Coach told me I was opening up a can of worms, and it'd be better answered by Vic. My question is, when these referees make such blatant bad calls, like during the Oakland game, we recovered the fumble and took it in for a touchdown. Come on. You know, we all got kind of screwed on that one. Now, when players do helmet-to-helmet contacts and they get fined, can you fine these referees for making such bad blatant calls that 63,000 people can
see? I don't know if they get fined or not, but they certainly get downgraded, which prohibits them from getting raises and eventually could lose their job.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Brian, you remember that point in that game where you said, wait a minute, they marked the ball on the 49.
In the Colts game.
Yes.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
I was watching the tape. Guess what?
Was I right?
You were right.
Yeah. Oh, hey, no, we have worse than that.
They were 5 yards off the spot.
We had a 9-yard first down in the Jets-Steelers game that has been discovered and admitted. a 9-yard run for a first down.
Well, but in that Indianapolis game, Vic, and you may not even remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it that ran out of bounds? And I'm trying to think of who it was. Was it
Mike Thomas, I think?
Yeah, I think it was Mike Thomas.
It was on a short reception to
short
the Colts
reception
side.
On our side of the press box. He goes out of bounds, Colts sideline at the 44.
And the reason I knew it was there were skid marks in the white in the white where the little pieces of the black rubber that's in that field turf came up.
So they gave Mike Thomas an additional 5 yards because they put the spot for what reason I don't know. Went from the 44 to the 49.
Yep. Well, I'll give you one.
Vic, they gave him 5 yards. Yeah. It wasn't even close.
I'll give you what I think was an egregious error by the officials. I'm not talking about the conferences that went on and on. Late in the game, the Jaguars had a 4th and 2, and Garrard did a little keeper number, and he slid feet first, and they spotted the ball. And when I looked down at the spot, I didn't think it made
the
first. It
was short.
I thought it was short. Absolutely.
Because he went feet first. And the spot goes where he actually makes the act of going first.
They spotted the ball correctly, and I looked down and I said, he's short of the first down. Hold on. I looked down at the ball and I said to myself, I think he's short of the first down. If he made it, Jeff, he made it by a few inches.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe.
They never measured.
Maybe. There you go.
Never measured.
Now, Greg Jones got called for an illegal chop block.
Yes.
All right? Why didn't they measure first?
Call.
Why didn't they measure first? And if he doesn't get the first down, the Colts take the ball right there. If he does get the first down, then they accept the penalty. They never measured.
No.
Now, don't tell me that was so clear cut. It was not.
And the spot
terrible.
Was wrong. They actually gave him too many yards on the spot.
The spot could have been challenged.
Yes. They have to spot that when the act of sliding starts.
Right.
Not where he hits the ground. That's not how it works. The spot on that, they gave him too much when they should have. And you're right, they should have measured that to see if it was, in fact, the first down, and then given the Colts the option. Mike Carey, in my opinion, has been the worst referee the National Football League has had year in and year out. And how he continues to be in that position, I don't get it.
If I was a director of officials, Carl Johnson is his name, I believe.
Yes.
That would be the thing in that game that would upset me the most.
Yeah, but Vic, how about a spot? You can't get a spot right.
The guy
goes out of bounds, and all of a sudden you come back from the commercial break,
five.
And it's 5 yards.
And there was
Jeff, officiating
break.
In this league this year has been horrible. Oh. Horrible.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More callers on the line. Jaguars this week from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Hope you're all enjoying a Merry Christmas. Who knows what music Joe will have when we come back.
In Europe, right? Yeah, no, that was European Vacation. Which one? Is this the... No, this is the one they go to Wally World?
So it's not even Christmas music.
No, this isn't Christmas Vacation. This is the Wally World vacation movie. Just got think it's called Vacation.
Stop it, alright? Well, you got to find the Christmas Vacation one now.
Alright, so...
You don't make mistakes like this.
Here's the play that we were talking about where the officials had misspotted the play. And I'm pretty sure that this is in the fourth quarter, the Jaguars' first possession in the fourth quarter. They had a 2nd and 5, and David threw it to Maurice.
Okay.
In the middle, and then Maurice ends up running out of bounds, and there was a stoppage on the play because there was an injury. C. Brown was injured on the play. So there was a Colt injury, and I remember we had a TV timeout.
Right.
And then when we come back, you were like, hey, didn't they not spot that ball correctly? Well, Maurice actually went out of bounds at the 43.
Okay. Which is right at the marker.
And came back, and it was on the 49.
Yeah. So they gave him 6 yards.
I'm pretty sure that's the play.
No, that's exactly the play. And I remember it because I remember thinking, well, you can see where he went out of bounds because he drug his feet. How did they give him 6 yards?
I don't know, but they did. It was bad.
855-NFL-1. Jamie is in Mandarin with a thought on Eugene Monroe. Hello, Jamie. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, before I get to my point, you guys are right. Every time we have Mike Carey do a Jacksonville game, there's just a lot of bad calls. I think he's the worst ref the Jaguars could get. But to get to my point, what I was saying is, first let me say, Dwight Freeney is a veteran pro bowler, and he's arguably the best speed rusher in the NFL. Eugene Monroe's in his second year, and you guys had a call earlier that asked y'all who won. Out of the two games they played, Dwight Freeney, Eugene Monroe played him basically by himself in both games, and Dwight Freeney had zero sacks, and he had two quarterback hits, and the two hits were in the game on Sunday when the Jags were playing from behind, so they had to throw the ball. So Eugene Monroe basically shut down Dwight Freeney in both games, even in the game when they had to throw the ball on Sunday.
Jamie, were you listening earlier when Jeff basically said that wasn't the case?
Yeah, and that's why I was calling in, because all Dwight Freeney had in both games combined was just two hits.
You can't go with stats alone.
Yeah, James, you're trying to measure whether Dwight Freeney was an effective player or not based on sacks or quarterback hits. There's other ways to impact the game for Dwight Freeney. Yeah, collapsing the pocket, forcing David out of the pocket, forcing an interception down the field, which is who forced that interception in that game. Jamie, hey, if you don't think that Dwight Freeney got the better of Eugene Monroe, you don't know much about football.
On the interception, Dwight Freeney pulled an inside stunt, so Eugene Monroe wasn't. That was on the guard in the center. And then in both games, he only got two quarterback hits on Garrard, and that was on Sunday when we were behind and had to throw the ball.
Just
think Eugene Monroe,
Jamie,
being a second-year player and doing that good against Freeney is something that should be pointed out.
Jamie, I'll say this again. As I said before, I think Eugene made progress. But if you think that Dwight Freeney was not a dominant player in either game, you don't know football. I'll leave it at that.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Here's what I know, and I didn't watch the tape again like you did, but how many times was David having to run out of the pocket?
Because of Dwight Freeney?
Because of Dwight Freeney. Well, it seemed like the whole game.
Well, he didn't
was
get a
moving.
Hit, Brian. He didn't get a sack, so, you know, Eugene won that.
Okay. You know, I feel like someone arguing
that. And you know, the guy's talking about, well, when Dwight Freeney spins inside, that's the guard in the center's fault. Well, wait a minute. Do you know the scheme? I mean, come on, man. You know, I mean,
there are some people that
would
argue.
Come on, man. Hey, Joe, can I get a
jack wagon?
He's talking to his mistress.
We'll get you one in a minute.
Well, here's the point.
But I mean,
arguing that, Jamie, with Jeff is like arguing nuclear quantum physics with Stephen Hawking. You're not going to win that one.
If there are certain protections where if a tackle is having a protection that's sliding to him, and he's overplaying the outside shoulder to Dwight Freeney, and when Dwight Freeney spins, then it does and can become the guard's responsibility. But not always. Let's leave it at that.
All right. 355-NFL-1. Derek is on the west side. Hello, Derek. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. I hate to kind of pile on here because I thought the game was, you know, it was fine. I think we're a young team that's getting better and have some good years in us, and I think the Colts are getting old. But I have to just be honest, I couldn't find the pleasure in watching any more football that game, not because we lost, but because of this officiating pretense of infallibility. You know, like, I feel like we're going to get to the point to where we're going to go to a football game and the referee is going to say, now, ladies and gentlemen, if you would pull the NFL rulebook from out under your chairs and flip to page 23, I'll explain this to you.
You're making a very good point. I'm with you, too. The thing that is bothering me most about this season is that it is being used as a witch hunt for players who need to be fined. You know, every week brings another round of fines. This whole season has become dedicated to crime and punishment, as opposed to the enjoyment of watching an athletic experience, endeavor. It's just way, way too much scrutiny on mistakes. It's way, way too much intensity for punishing players for having hit the wrong part of the body, for hitting a knee or for hitting a head.
Yeah,
it's too much. It's overboard.
I have a hard time kind of with what they're doing now because, you know, they're trying to analyze the game in slow motion. And the game is not played in slow motion.
Bingo.
And I said this way back at the beginning when they started, you know, this, I guess, new era in football, is that if you don't measure intent, then you're not going to discourage the true violators of it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you got to look at intent. You know, what targets are, you know, how a player positions his body. If there's incidental contact, like William Middleton against Jason Campbell, and you got a penalty that took away a touchdown that basically changed the complete complexion of the game, which happened to be an incidental contact of the quarterback's helmet. And yes, the quarterback got hurt,
right,
but it wasn't because of that contact.
Jeff, you're
it
right
was because
on the
of the ensuing part of that.
You're right on the button. Compared to what Merriweather did for the Patriots early in the year when he literally launched himself at the head of the receiver after the catch had been made. I mean, clearly with aim, with direction, with intent to go for the head. That's a completely different thing. And I'll say one more thing on this. If any of the, and I know they're not, if any of the executives at Park Avenue in the league office if any of them are listening to this, let me tell you this, hockey loves it. Keep doing what you're doing because the NHL isn't doing it. The blood is running red on the hockey rinks, and the fans are streaming to the games.
You know, here's over the top. Here's how I would judge it's over the top. If Daryl Smith gets fined for the Austin Collins,
he's going to get fined. Guarantee it.
Well, then that's over the top because clearly Daryl Smith did not have any intent of doing that.
How about Sean Considine the week before? Remember the Oakland hit down the seam?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he got fined?
Probably not.
He did.
How much?
It was small, but I was told he got fined.
Intent.
So if you hit the head, you're going to get fined.
I thought that he wouldn't just because, you know, the league would say, nobody will see that we missed that one.
No, he was fine.
You know.
I was told he was fine.
It's just getting out of control.
If Daryl Smith gets a big fine on that?
$5,000.
You know what $5,000 says? Well, you didn't do anything wrong.
But we're going to hit you anyway.
But we really just feel obligated that we need to
send
this
obligated.
Message.
They feel obligated to acknowledge every blow to the head. And here's the part that's worse. Concussions are up over 20%. It's not working.
Reported
find another way. But it's the same, Jeff, same program had in place last year.
Yeah, but the players are more willing to come forward this year.
Do you know that for a fact?
No, you can just see it. You know, with the emphasis that's been put on it and some of the information that's been put out, I really believe. I mean, look at Hines Ward. Remember last year? You remember the incident last year where he was trying to tell Ben Roethlisberger, suck it up?
Well, he did this year.
He got angry.
He reported it as a neck injury. It was not reported as a concussion.
That's what I'm saying is that last year, you know, Hines Ward, you know, was criticizing somebody else.
Right. Well, Hines Ward is a different.
Well, I know that. But I mean, that's kind of what the attitude was more so last year. Whereas
and this year, it's over the top.
The culture is starting to change.
You jackwagon!
All right, folks.
It was unnecessary.
Not for you.
This is Christmas.
That was for the refs and the league. Okay.
Good. They deserve it.
Hit the bottom of the hour. We'll take a quick break for news and return with one more half hour of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
It's that time.
Now you're talking.
Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh.
Get my stump.
Santa's on his way.
Company kill all them people in India?
Vacation.
Nah, we missed out on that one.
Got a ton of stuff to celebrate.
Oh, man. Have you noticed Ask Vic every day has a line from Christmas Vacation?
That's your great uncle and great aunt. What's so great about it?
And the all-time favorite, when it's
all part of the experience, honey.
Do the line with the dog.
The dog?
Snot?
Snot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I got to watch myself. Yeah. You never seen a set on a dog like this.
This year is our pride and joy. Snot.
Snots, roll over.
Let Uncle Clark scratch your belly.
Yeah. I can't. My hands are all chapped, Eddie.
Merry Christmas, folks. It's just one of those nights. Let's grab some of the phone calls. Jeff is in Fleming Island. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, I was just calling to get your thoughts on the decision to go for it on fourth down when you're on your own 40-yard line, and it wasn't fourth and inches. I mean, it was a good 2 yards
almost
or
two.
So.
Yeah. Do you think anybody here is going to support it? Just curious.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, I didn't like it. I mean, I'm okay with going for it on fourth down when you're on the other side of the field, but at that point, just the situation of the game, the positioning on the field, didn't like it.
And they gave away a touchdown.
Well, that made it, what, 11 point game?
21-10.
Yeah, 21-10.
Yeah, you know, and then at that point, that was third quarter.
Early
Austin Collie had left the game. I don't know if it would be deemed as desperate or I think either message that it is. It's not so much that you're saying, hey, we're going to be aggressive. I think it sends a wrong message.
I want to give you an example of how the worst play call decision I have ever covered in 39 years was made successful by what the coaches repeatedly say, repeatedly refer to as execution, and, of course, we all hate to hear that word over and over, execution. The single worst play call decision by a coach I have ever witnessed, by far, was in Super Bowl 10 or 13. I can't remember now. It was against the Cowboys. It was made by Chuck Knoll, and it goes like this. It was 10, Super Bowl 10. It would have been the 1975 season. Bobby Walden was an old punter for the Steelers who had had a punt blocked earlier in the game, and Chuck Knoll had lost all faith in his ability to get a punt off. The Steelers had the lead and had the ball on about the Cowboys' 40, 39-yard line, somewhere in there, between a 40 and 35, and they had fourth and four. We're now at, I think, 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game.
What's the score?
The Steelers are winning by 4 points, I believe.
Okay.
By whatever the final score was, and I think the final score was 2017, I think it was. So it's 3 points. Three or 4 points, somewhere in there. 21-17 was the final, I believe. All right. Fourth and four. What would you do, Jeff?
Punt it.
Okay. But you can't
play defense. You got steel curtain.
That's right. No, that's exactly what Chuck decided. But you can't punt because you have no faith in your punter, and you do have faith in your defense. But what are you going to do on fourth and four?
I'm going to punt it.
But you have no faith in this guy to get it off. He's already had one blocked. So you can't do that. What else
would
you do?
Have the kicker punt it.
Okay, it's a good thought.
I'm still punting.
By the way, he was in the tank too. That's the one where Lambert threw the guy down, you know, on his back, and Cliff Harris. Okay, anyhow. Mate, you could throw for the end zone, take a shot at the end zone, or you can, you know, try a pass 10 yards downfield. I mean, what the heck? If it's intercepted, you make the tackle right there. I mean, you've gained 10 yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what Chuck Knoll, who is in the Hall of Fame, did. He ran the ball up the middle for 1 yard, took 4 seconds off on the clock, and turned it over to his defense because he wanted the game in the hands of his defense. In other words,
if you punt it, isn't that the same thing?
But he had no faith. See, what he wanted to do was eliminate all potential for disaster. In other words, if that is said, Chuck, is it okay if we just give it to the Cowboys here? He might have said, yeah. You know?
That might have been the right decision for Tom Coughlin.
You know, you're right. You're right. But what I'm trying to say here is, and of course, the Steelers, steel curtain stopped them and they won the game. What I'm trying to say is that is the worst. I can't imagine anything worse than coming up with a play that gains 1 yard and takes 4 seconds off the clock. I mean, that's the most conservative of all calls, but they made it work because they executed. So the same holds here. If they get that first down, and if David Garrard checks to the play I think he should have checked to, they get the first down. Jack Del Rio isn't getting criticized. He's getting praised. By the way, the Jaguars lead the league by far in fourth down go-for-it attempts.
You know, my thing was, it was the first drive of the third quarter. That was really my issue with it.
Well, can I play devil's advocate for a second? What do you say to the people who say, okay, fine, the Colts didn't do that. They punted on fourth and one, and it got run back for a touchdown.
You mean the Giants?
No.
No, the Colts.
The Colts, the second quarter. In our game.
Yeah. Fair catch signal.
Well, the Colts aren't going to return a punt for a touchdown. I mean, they don't have that kind of...
No, but you see...
Return man.
There are coaches who are ultra-conservative, and they're in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And there are coaches who are ultra-aggressive. Bill Belichick, and he will be in the Hall of Fame. It's all a matter of, did you make it work?
To me, that was... I mean, you go back to when Bill Belichick went for it on a fourth and down, similar scenario.
From his 19-yard line.
Yeah, at the end of the game.
In Indy.
Yeah.
And didn't make it.
Right.
And then the Colts won.
Right.
Whew.
Didn't make it work.
Didn't work.
But how many he has made work, you see.
Well, they had one earlier in the game on that touchdown drive.
If you're
going
to pick and choose your spots, you're going to have to get lucky. Or you're going to have a philosophy. You have to have a rule. I go for it when I hit here, and I don't go for it until I hit here, which is what you're saying. And I tend to agree with that. Now, I would punt from the other team's 30-yard line. I mean, I'm ultra-aggressive in this. I believe in defense first. But if a coach told me, I'll go for it when I reach the other team's 40-yard line, that's my rule, unless it's late in the game and I'm desperate.
That was the only touchdown they scored in the second half.
Yeah.
Jeff, you're building a very, very good case for punting, yep. And I tend to agree with you.
My only issue was, it's the first drive of the third quarter. You've got a one-game lead on these guys, so you're not going to lose the division today. Mm-hmm. And you're punting from your own you're going for it instead of punting from your own 39-yard line. They didn't have Austin Collie coming back. You know, your
was he gone at that point?
Yeah, he was gone.
Yeah, he got hurt at the end of the first half.
They didn't do all that much in the second half that you didn't give them. You gave them the muff punt that turned into a field goal.
43-yard run, that was it.
Yeah, that was it. So if you punt that instead and play to a defense that was going to play well in the second half anyway, that was my real concern.
Yeah, it was.
Isn't that the great thing about sport, though?
Yeah, you can talk about it.
You know, I mean,
that's right.
Is one way right, one way wrong? You know, everybody's got an opinion on it. You know, if that were my decision, I would have punted. But I understand what the head coach was wanting to do. He told me before the game, he said, hey, look, if I've got, and I said it on the air, I said, hey, he said, if I've got an opportunity to go for it on fourth down this game, I said, I'm going for it. We're going after this title.
Well, and from that perspective, you can kind of understand it.
What if Starr had not scored in the ice bowl and Lombardi was faced with fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, down 3 points? And he had elected not to kick. He had elected to go for it.
Have they kicked any field goals in that game? I don't recall.
It was 17-14. The Cowboys had kicked one.
I was going to ask, because that ball had to weigh 27 pounds.
Oh, it was just getting colder and colder. But I'm saying, Lombardi.
He's praised because they made it.
And Starr made the call. He came to the sideline and said, I can sneak it in from here. And Lombardi said, then run it and let's get the hell out of here. All right, that's the exact quote. Lombardi didn't make the call. Yeah. Starr did. So, I think we've turned this too much into a video game. Whatever it is you do, make it work. If it works, you're great. If it doesn't, you're not great. Lombardi would not have the mystique. I don't know if the Super Bowl trophy today would bear his name if Starr had not scored.
Maybe not.
Well, but does that eliminate the
That's how dynamic the difference is between win and lose. Make it stopped.
But they had a strategy going into the game.
Who?
The Packers, the Jaguars. They have a strategy going into the game.
Well, now, I know the Jaguars did. I don't know what the Packers' strategy was. It went, the temperatures fell 60 degrees overnight.
Which necessitates sometimes abandoning the strategy and just getting
right.
it done.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, I guess when you say if it works, it's good. If it doesn't, it's bad. It does take away from strategic decisions like where it works, where you call it, things like that.
Here's another, since we're talking about this, the Packers were minus 9 yards in their previous 10 possessions in that game. And they get the ball at their 32 for the final drive of the game, and they go right down the field. You see what I'm saying?
I know.
They made it work. Just make it work. And the teams that make it work at crunch time, and there is no greater crunch time than the championship game, are the teams that are great.
355-NFL-1. Let's take a break. We'll come back. One more segment of this program. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Fueled this evening by the good folks from Sonny's. Don't forget to stop by your neighborhood Sonny's throughout the course of the holidays. They have great specials, and we certainly appreciate John Ranieri and the whole group bringing some food over to us this evening. Thanks, fellas. More to come after this.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping
Nat King Cole, Joe. This is early Nat King Cole. He's young here.
Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Cool. Yes. Christmas week, folks. Hope you enjoy the sounds of the season. We continue for another 8 minutes on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. And we go to Chris on the north side. Hello, Chris.
Hello, guys. My question is where is Zach Miller and what is his status? Because it just seems like to me when he is a part of the offense, we just become so much more dynamic and so much more fun to watch. And I really think he brings, like, energy and spark to the team, and also enjoy watching Jason Hill.
Do you remember? In that game when Mercedes was making those highlight type catches mm-hmm. and runs yes. after the catch, Chris?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who was staying in? Mm-hmm. That was Zach Miller.
Wow.
When Mercedes typically got out in the route, you had Rashad Jennings and Zach Miller as a two back set, and they were checking or chipping on their way out, helping the tackles and then releasing out in the route so he wasn't a primary receiver. That's what happens when you have a Dwight Freeney and a Robert Mathis. Not only do they make plays that aren't on the stat sheet, but they also make plays in that they change the game plan.
They involve more personnel than one guy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Miller's role, and by the way, I want to say this, Zach Miller's blocking has improved dramatically in the last 5 to 6 weeks to where he's getting much better at it. But that's what happened to Zach Miller.
Okay.
All right, Chris, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Don on the north side. Hello, Don.
Yes, I'd like your opinion on the following. I don't like it when on fourth down, and everybody knows he's only got a yard or less to go, that they run backwards 8 or 9 yards, hand the thing off, everybody fumbles, everybody goes crazy, and then everybody's crying afterwards. What is your thoughts on that? I'll take it off the air.
So you're saying that the actual play they call.
He's talking about penetration. He doesn't like the idea of a slow-developing play that allows penetration, and I agree with him.
All right. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. How about a quick thought? I've been meaning to ask you about this. I haven't seen you since Monday night. What'd you think of the outdoor game in Minnesota? There is now suddenly a surge to mm-hmm. go outdoors with their stadium.
Okay, the attendance for the game was 40,504. Now, a lot of those people, of course, were Bears fans. I don't know if that's the tickets distributed or actual attendance.
That's
attendance? Okay. Mm-hmm. I saw in the upper decks they pushed people down like a thermometer so that the upper
row. It was first come, first seat have.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was okay. General admission.
I thought the attendance was impressive for a really bad weather night and for a disappointing football team.
Right.
For a bunch of fans who had, you know, high expectations and they were crushed early in the season. So hats off to Vikings fans. And if that's a snapshot of the Vikings and of Vikings fans, then somebody in the legislature there needs to get it done so that that stadium is retrofitted for professional football and college football. Don't build another stadium. It's not fair to the taxpayer. That stadium is fine. It just needs more seats and some adaptations made to it for professional football. I thought it was great. Domes are for sissies. Get out of that stinking dome. Get back outside. It's the NFC North, and that is your heritage. If the Lions want to be sissies, let them be sissies, but it's important that the Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears aren't sissies.
Yeah, I thought it was a good turnout.
I did, too. I thought it was great.
Considering the conditions that, you know, there was 4 to 6 inches of snow in the forecast.
Right.
And possible freezing rain.
What was the temperature?
It was
in the
wind chill was sub-zero.
Yeah.
How could it be sub-zero and be half rain?
It was 19 degrees at kickoff. With the wind chill, it felt like 9.
Well, where did the half rain come from?
I don't know.
I couldn't get that.
They said it was like a really wet snow, whatever that means. So, but I know in the second half there, I mean, you could see almost the ice forming on the helmets.
Well, that's a real phenomenon because once you get down around 20 degrees, the snow gets dry and fluffy.
Well, the commissioner was in Minnesota, and he and the governor-elect had a conversation, and I was reading in Sid Hartman's column, and I know you know Sid.
Oh, and he's an old-timer
now. He's been around a long time.
And we're talking about one of the esteemed members of the Hall of Fame selection committee.
Exactly, and Sid was writing in his column the next morning that, according to the governor, an outdoor stadium seemed to have a real, honest-to-goodness chance of getting something done.
I met Sid Hartman for the first time when I covered a game, first game I covered at the old Metropolitan Stadium. That's when Sid was in his heyday. I mean, he ran that town.
Well, he's been around there forever. A long, long time.
Yo, Joe.
Didn't Goodell say something like, we have to find a way to make this work?
No, that was the governor-elect. The governor-elect said that.
Goodell never said that.
Well, here's how you make it work. You go to the president of the University of Minnesota, and you tell him, shut up, all right? We will do what it takes to make this work for both, and you will be supportive of it, and beer will be sold in the stadium the day the Vikings play in it.
No, but it never came from Goodell's lips.
No, Goodell talked about the importance of it, but it was I think his name is Dayton. Governor-elect Dayton of Minnesota said, we have to find, the politicians in Minnesota, have to find a way to make this work.
It's a great-looking stadium.
I thought Goodell had said that, and my question would have been after that, well, did Goodell ever say that when he came here last year?
No, he said the exact opposite. He said, you have to find a way to
you
make
know,
this
Joe,
work.
I'll tell you what, Joe is on something. You're absolutely right, Joe. That press conference here last summer before training camp was a bummer with a capital B. I was so disappointed. I don't know if the guy was just tired or what it was, but, you know, this was a town and this was an owner who was looking for a pep talk, and we sure didn't get it.
No, no. All right, folks, we got 2 minutes left in this program. Quick thought on Sunday, Jaguars and Redskins. We really haven't touched much on that other than the importance of it off the top. This Redskins team benched their quarterback a week ago, and Clinton Portis today, who is on injured reserve, told a member of the Washington Post staff that had created an air of fear and uncertainty in the Redskins locker room. So what kind of a team do you expect?
I think Mike Shanahan made the easy call. I had a chance to watch 2 games that Donovan McNabb played in, and he was missing basic stuff for a veteran quarterback to see.
Don't trade with the Eagles. Never trade with the Eagles. They are the Patriots of the NFC. They're masters.
So, but Rex Grossman's got an arm. He can make a lot of throws.
And he was a guy
which is scary.
Yeah, played in a Super Bowl a few years ago. So what about their defense?
Their defense is struggling, but they can get some takeaways. They're good on the corners. Rakpo, I guess, is a little bit beat up. The guy that I love watching is London Fletcher, folks. If you come to the game, watch 59. You'll love him.
He's about 5'9", 245.
12th year and plays like he's a young man still.
From John Carroll?
Yep.
Who is
It's not a football factory.
Well, John Shula.
Don Shula's from John Carroll. Absolutely.
Give us the line one more time there, Vic. You find football players.
You find football players where you find football players.
We will leave it at that. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, guys.
Same to you.
Joe?
Merry Christmas, Joe.